Everyone, it's January 2017, and thanks for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 29 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by resident film reviewer Dr. John McAteer, and today we are talking about the new film Silence, directed by Martin Scorsese and starring Adam Driver, Liam Neeson, and Andrew Garfield. Our reviewer, John McAteer, is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, an MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. John has also written a film review on Silence called The Hidden Faith of Silence, which is available free online at equip.org. John, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's good to be here to talk about such a difficult and interesting film to try to understand.
Yes, well, this movie is based on the novel by Shusaku Endo, who's a Japanese writer, Roman Catholic, and he is writing this novel, I think, partially to explore just kind of faith in his country in Japan, and I'm a third-generation Japanese-American. So I can appreciate, you know, just kind of the history of Christianity in Japan. And this movie takes place around the time that Christianity first came to Japan in the 1500s and was brought there by Portuguese missionaries, priests. So is this novel based on a true story?
Well, yeah, it is. It's inspired by actual events. I mean, it's historical fiction, so not everything that happens is exactly right, but all of the events and even some of the characters are based on some historical people. The film is actually set in 17th century Japan. The Christians had come in the 15th century and had a lot of success. There were lots of conversions and hundreds of thousands of Japanese converted to Christianity. But then by the 17th century, Christianity had been outlawed in Japan, so there's this time of persecution. And a lot of the Japanese Christians were being killed, or they went into hiding, and a lot of them actually renounced their faith by stepping on this image of Jesus called a fumie. It was like this kind of brass plate that they had to step on to show that they were rejecting Jesus. And there really was this persecution during this time, and thousands of Japanese Christians were forced to renounce their faith by stepping on the fumie. And I think the Japanese church pretty much died out publicly during this time, and it went underground, and there were hidden communities of Christians who, you know, pretended to be Buddhist outwardly, but then secretly they were worshiping Jesus. And this underground church kind of continued for the next few hundred years until after World War II. But that's when this is what the novel, I think, by Shusaku Endo is about. He's exploring this phenomenon of the secret Christianity in Japan. And, you know, most of us would say that they couldn't have been real Christians because they publicly denied Christ. They must not have had true faith. And I think Endo is kind of wrestling with that and trying to figure out what true faith means in this very extreme situation where, you know, people are being tortured and killed for their faith.
I'd like you to kind of, I'm going to tell our listeners right now that this is going to be a spoiler-filled podcast, so if you haven't seen the movie and you really want to, you might want to turn it off now. But we are going to talk about kind of details about the story, and I want you to tell us a little bit more about the story of Silence. I will say, when I went to see the film, I did go with a few biases. I had read Endo's other book, Deep River, and I didn't like that book for various reasons, theological reasons. So I was... did come with that bias as I went to see the film a little bit, but I did want to experience what the film was trying to communicate about the nature of Christianity and suffering. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the basic story of the film.
Sure. And I would say about Deep River that was a later novel that Endo wrote and is definitely, heretical, and he's kind of gone off the deep end at that point. But I think Silence, was written earlier in his life, and he's questioning some, orthodoxy, but I think he kind of toes the line, at least in my interpretation, very, very closely, and comes out, affirming Christianity still at that point. But it is open to interpretation. As far as the story of the novel goes in the movie, it follows these two Roman Catholic missionaries from Portugal, Rodriguez and Garp, or Garpe, I'm not sure how they say it. And they hear that their mentor, his name is Father Ferreira, they hear that he has apostatized or publicly renounced his faith. And initially they don't believe this, right, because Ferreira had been their mentor, and he'd always had such a strong faith. He had taught them about Christianity, and so they decide to go and find out what the story is. There's almost like a kind of a mystery element to this, to go and find out why are there these stories that Ferreira had abandoned Christianity. And like you said, there's no way to talk about this without spoilers, but the movie follows Rodriguez, played by Andrew Garfield from Spider-Man and Hacksaw Ridge, and he is he's captured by the Japanese government, and he is forced to renounce his faith toward the end of the film. And this happens in a very interesting way, the way that the story sets it up, because the government doesn't directly torture him to get him to deny Christ. They torture other Christians, and they make him watch. And so he's watching these people who, as a Catholic priest, he's supposed to be taking care of. He's their pastor, and he's watching them suffer. And so he's undergoing this kind of psychological torture. And eventually he thinks that he hears the voice of Jesus telling him to step on the fumier and to renounce his faith so that he can stop the torture of the Christians in Japan.
You just said that Rodriguez thinks that he hears Jesus' voice. Is this supposed to be in the film? Is it supposed to be real that he actually audibly heard Christ say that to him, or that he's hallucinating?
Well, I don't think we know for sure. This is one of the parts of the film that takes some interpretation, and it can be read in different ways. It seems to me that Rodriguez is an unreliable narrator, that we're seeing things from his point of view in the film, and we should not necessarily agree with him. I don't think we should agree with really anybody in the film, any of the characters. They all say kind of things from their point of view, but we're meant to kind of wrestle with it and come up with what we think as an audience, and they're all unreliable in different ways. I think in terms of the voice that Rodriguez hears, it could be real, or it could be a hallucination, or it could even be the devil, speaking to him, tricking him into thinking he's hearing Jesus. Rodriguez does hallucinate earlier in the film. He looks at his own reflection in a pool of water, and he sees the face of Jesus looking back at him. So it's like he's imagining himself as Jesus. So, and that is, I think, in the way it's filmed, clearly supposed to be a hallucination. He's kind of laughing hysterically and kind of going crazy at that point. So I think this is a hint that his relationship with Jesus is kind of distorted, and we're not supposed to, I don't think we're supposed to think that this voice that he hears from the calling out to him to reject Christ is actually Jesus himself. I think it's kind of like his wishful thinking. He wants to reject Christ, and so he wants to imagine Jesus telling him that this is going to be okay, to justify his actions, kind of. But like I say, there's different ways of interpreting this, which is why it's such a great work of art and kind of interesting to wrestle with. There's an interesting line, I think, where in this scene, right, where the voice of Jesus is actually saying to him, act in love to save on them, to save these people, right? Act in love to save them. It wouldn't be a denial of me. It would be an imitation of me, an imitation of my love. So there's this paradox about what the Christ-like thing to do here is, and that's why it's such an insidious kind of torture that the government has given to him, because they know that he's going to react this way. The governor knows that this man Rodriguez wants to do the Christ-like thing, and he wants to give his life and love for others. But the only way that he can stop their suffering is to renounce Christ. So it's this really impossible situation from his point of view, and he decides to deny Jesus, which in this situation I think is his way of trying to remain faithful to Jesus' call to love others.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is John McAteer, and he's written a film review on silence called The Hidden Faith of Silence, which is available free online at quip.org. To read more film reviews and other articles like this review, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. In our upcoming issue at the beginning of February 2017, Volume 40, Number 1, we have various articles, including our cover article about Jesus portrayed in Islam, another article asking the question if productive dialogue is possible between Islam and Christianity, and also an article on Mormonism and the afterlife, and many more. And to get Volume 40, Number 1 of the journal, it's only available as a thank you gift for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. To donate and receive Volume 40, Number 1, please go to equip.org. We were just talking about in the film where Father Rodriguez denies Christ and is interpreting some words of Christ or visions that he sees that he's saying that's the right thing to do. And you're talking about how this is kind of shown as a paradox. But the question I have is that, you know, the Bible, Christ is very explicit, and he says that if we deny him before men, he will also deny us before his Father in heaven. So are you saying that Rodriguez was right to deny Christ?
Not at all, and I think that's an important point to make. I agree that it was actually a sin for Rodriguez to deny Christ. I think he was trying to remain faithful to Christ in his own way, but he failed. He actually betrayed Christ. And I think the movie kind of gives hints that this is we're supposed to think that this was a betrayal, because we hear a rooster crow right after he steps on the fumier. It's kind of quiet in the background. It's more obvious in the novel. It just says, you know, a rooster crowed. And that's a sign, I think, that we're supposed to see this scene as parallel to Peter denying Christ. Right? All this time in the story, Rodriguez has been comparing himself to Christ, and he thinks he's being Christ for these people. But I think he's actually much more like Peter or even Judas than Christ is. So that's this idea of him being an unreliable narrator. I think that this, he Peter sinned when Peter denied Christ. I think we have to say that Rodriguez sinned too. The important other point, though, which I think is maybe the point of the movie, is that Jesus also forgave Peter, right? After Peter denied Jesus before men, Jesus gave him a chance to repent, right? And there's that wonderful scene after the resurrection where Jesus is asking him, you know, do you love me? Yes, I love you. You know, he asked him three times and says, feed my sheep. So that's this idea that Jesus forgave Peter, and Jesus could forgive Rodriguez too if he repented from his denial. So I'm not saying that we should all deny Jesus the way Rodriguez does, right? Obviously, just because Jesus is going to forgive us doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. I'm just saying that he was put in this impossible position. He had to choose between denying Christ and saving the lives of other Christians. Obviously, you know, the Bible teaches we should never deny Christ, and it was a sin for him. At the same time, when I watch this scene, it really gives me compassion for people like Rodriguez, right? If I'm honest, I don't really know what I would have done in his situation. I know what I hope I will do. You know, I know what the right thing to do is, but I don't know if I would have been strong enough. I've never been tortured or really persecuted in any serious way for my faith, having, you know, lived in America. But it's very easy for me, kind of looking at him, to be this, to think, oh, you know, no, I would never do that. But if I'm really honest, I don't know. I think it gives me kind of a compassion for people that are persecuted in this way. And one thing I do know for sure is that you know, whatever sins I commit, I can never be beyond God's forgiveness if I confess and repent.
There's another character in the movie, and he is one that they meet at the very beginning who kind of gets them back to Japan, and his name is Kichiro, and Kichijiro, that's what I want to say that. I should get that right, I'm Japanese. You know, he is continually showing that he denies Christ and also giving up other Christians in his attempt to, you know, save himself. So do you think he was actually really repentant in all these instances? What are we to make of this character? I kind of found him very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's tough, the Kichijiro character. I mean, you're intended, by the filmmakers and the novelist to really be almost disgusted by him. That's the way it's narrated. Rodriguez is disgusted by him and just think, well, this person is clearly not a real Christian. He doesn't have any faith. But here again, I think Peter is the best person to think about. If you think about all the times, you know, Peter got it wrong throughout the Gospels. Anytime, you know, Jesus is teaching something, Peter just seems to miss the point, and he wants to, you know, prevent Jesus from going to the cross and things like this, and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," right? But even if we think more literally about Peter denying Jesus three times in the scene of during the trials of Jesus, I think the film portrays Kichijiro as denying Christ three times. There's three scenes where, that you mentioned throughout the film where he betrays his fellow Christians. And I think that's intentional. The number three there is to recall back to Peter. And I think it's important that he always confesses his sin and returns to faith, right? Then, of course, he sins again, and that's where we start to think, well, maybe he never really repented in the first place. But I think the reason, I mean, I almost would call him a hero in a way, because I think that, like Peter, right, even though, you know, he says things like, you know, I'm too weak to become a martyr, I'm too weak to be a Christian, you know, what's God going to do with me if I'm so weak? But I think just like Peter was weak until, you know, after the resurrection and then took on this new kind of boldness, I think we see toward the end of the film, the last time we see Kichijiro in the film, he is holding, you know, this Christian icon that he's got hidden in his clothes, and the authorities find it and arrest him, and he's taken away, and he never returns, right? So here's one of the ambiguities of the film. We don't really know what happens to him, but it seems pretty implicit to me. It seems like the suggestion is that he was actually executed as a Christian. He definitely did not give, betray Rodriguez. There's clues that Rodriguez also has a secret Christianity going on and almost like an underground church. But we don't see the authorities come rushing in to arrest Rodriguez, right? So Kichijiro clearly has not betrayed this underground church, in which case he would have been executed himself. So I think we're supposed to see Kichijiro at the end of the film as finally having the strength to be become a martyr and to, you know, stand up for his faith and be killed and not to betray Christ in the last moment. So I think that's where I see him as this, you know, almost a heroic figure in that he really understands the grace of God in a way that Rodriguez doesn't. Kichijiro understands that, you know, Christianity is precisely for the weak. The gospel is for the weak, those who know that they're not good enough to earn their salvation, whereas Rodriguez really seems kind of arrogant throughout the film. He seems like he thinks he already is this great hero of the faith, and that he's bringing in, you know, Christ to this these weak Japanese people. But I think it shows that the Japanese have their own kind of strength that Rodriguez is not aware of.
I kind of want to talk about the end of the film, which I feel like is kind of leaves a question mark a little bit, or it seems ambiguous. After Rodriguez steps on the fumier, the film is another 30 minutes and, you know, kind of shows him reuniting. Father Ferreira shows up, and it seems to me in the film that Father Ferreira really has renounced his faith. He's writing a book that is kind of saying why, giving reasons why Christianity is not the truth. And we see Rodriguez live out his life. He's married to a Japanese woman, and it seems like he's living as a Buddhist. They have a shot of Father Ferreira and Father Rodriguez in a Buddhist temple, and then he eventually dies. And then at the very last shot of the film, we see him. He's in his little Japanese coffin before they, you know, cremate him, and he's holding a little crucifix, which looks like his wife has placed it there. So I know that this is not in the novel by Endo, but what do you think Martin Scorsese is trying to do with that ending? I know that this was a very intensely personal film for Scorsese, who's a Roman Catholic, and he talked about in interviews wanting to explore his Catholic faith through this film.
Yeah, I think that last image was very interesting, and it's sort of you're right. It's not in the novel. I do think it's sort of implied in the novel. I mean, all this stuff with Kichijiro is in the novel. It describes how, in a very kind of ambiguous way. There's just like a list of facts that this third person Dutch trader has observed, and it's not like his diary, but most of it's like, you know, today I collected 12 barrels of fish or whatever, you know, it's very strange kind of things. But hidden within that list of things in the last section of the novel is this hint that the church has lived on, and you hear about Kichijiro being arrested and things like that. So I think that's what Scorsese is trying to do, but make it even a little more explicit. It's still maybe ambiguous, but a little more explicit than the novel, to show that Rodriguez has continued to be a minister of the gospel in this underground church. I think what's really important about that scene is not that Rodriguez has the crucifix in his hands, it's that his wife put it there. So I think you're supposed we have to conclude that his wife knows that he's a Christian and did not betray him to the government. And it's very likely to me that she herself has a Christian faith, and that Rodriguez has taught her about Christianity. She would have had no other way to know about this. So it's to show that Rodriguez has restarted this underground church that we saw at the beginning of the film. So that I think is what's so kind of to me hopeful about it, about the end. Right? It does seem sort of depressing in some sense. They go underground. I'm not sure that I want to say Ferreira's faith is renewed. I think he maybe continues to deny Christ to the end. But at least Kichijiro and Rodriguez seem to have repented and decided to proclaim Christ to their family members and the other people in this underground church.
Well, this film is certainly thought-provoking, and up to, like, if we think about modern times now, modern Japan, it's very westernized culture, and it is less than 1% Christian to this day. So it's definitely a country that we should be praying in prayer for. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So, John, do you watch the Super Bowl?
Only for the commercials.
And so what kind of snacks do you like, sweet snacks or salty snacks?
I usually go for salty.
And what was the very first job you ever had?
I worked at Chuck E. Cheese making pizza.
And besides the Bible, what's one book you think that every Christian should own?
Ooh, good question. Maybe Augustine's Confessions.
Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
All right, my pleasure.
John McAteer has written a film review on silence called The Hidden Faith of Silence, which is available free online at equip.org. To read more articles like this film review, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.